Okay, read in the Word of God in Psalms, Book of Psalms, and Psalm 11. Let's hear God's Word together. In the Lord put I my trust. How say he to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Amen. We thank the Lord for his word. I'm sure you've all had the experience of being in a downpour, and today it snowed quite heavily where we were in Egham. But you've been outside and it looks clear in the morning, you set out and then the clouds come and the rain pours down and you have to seek shelter and refuge, perhaps under a tree or in a shop front. It's only rain, it's only inconvenience, but it can be fairly wet. But this is what the psalmist is speaking of here in this opening verse. In the Lord put I my trust, or in the Lord I take refuge. According to the United Nations, there were 68.5 million refugees last year, forced to leave their homes, displaced, driven out of where they live by violence, persecution or war, seeking refuge elsewhere. In the UK, some 26,500 sought refuge here and 14,000 that refuge was granted. It's a reality in life to seek refuge. And the psalmist knows the reality and the pain and the struggle of that fight against him and seeking refuge and finding that refuge in the Lord. In the Lord put I my trust. David faces real threats here. His circumstances can be, well, we're not sure where the circumstances are, whether it's Saul, King Saul, who sought to persecute him, or Absalom. It doesn't really matter what the background circumstances were. The reality was, his circumstances were, that people were seeking his life. And so his affirmation in the first verse is that confident trust in the face of hostility, in the face of difficulty, in the face of changing circumstances, which we can relate to, can't we, in our own lives and situations, because our experience should be the same as believers and Christians today in Christ. We need to be reminded of that present reality, that our refuge and our security is in Christ, in our Lord, in our Saviour. In him we put our trust. And so that's the subject of our consideration this evening, is our refuge in Christ. Our refuge in Christ. This psalm can be split into two halves or two parts. And the first part we'll consider briefly this evening is verses 1 to 3, which I've titled The Temptation to Run. The Temptation to Run. David, as the king, or if it was before he was king, was surrounded still by advisers, those who would advise him. And this section here, from the second half of verse 1 to the end of verse 3, it seems, is what they're saying to him, where he says, "How say ye to my soul? Flee as a bird to your mountain." And in the continuing verses 2 and 3, seems to be their justification for saying this. Why he should run, why he should flee as a bird to the mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. And they say to him, if the foundations be destroyed, David, what can the righteous do? So run, David, run to the mountains. Make haste to be away and in safety. This is what his advisers are saying to him. Be like the bird. Be quick. Find that quiet place. And their intentions seem good and right. because it is a real threat that David is facing, real and present. It's very picturesque, isn't it, the language? The bow is bent ready. The arrow is on the string. You can hear the sound. If you've ever pulled a bow, you can hear it pulling tighter. You can feel the tension in that bow. And as the arrow is let go, it flies through the air. But that sound, you can hear it, can't you, in your ears? The arrows are bent ready at him. The finger is on the trigger, about to pull it. It's a deadly threat that he faces as they privily, it says there, privily shoot at him. Or secretly, the word is that dark place, that hidden place, like an assassin waiting in the shadows to ambush, stalking its prey, waiting to strike. It's a real and deadly threat that David faces, and it's destructive. As they say in verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If law and order falls and fails in the land, a similar phrase is used in Ezekiel 30 concerning Egypt, where the enemies come in and destroy that place. And it says there the foundations, literally, of the country were destroyed. And elsewhere the similar phrases are used. It seems that's what's thought of here. If those foundations of society, of law and order fall, what can the righteous do? God has ordered these things. Chaos will ensure the collapse of civilization. It's a destructive threat that David faces. And so the question is, what can we do? What can the righteous do? Is a question of despair facing this present threat. The what if scenario. What if? And so they propose to run. The temptation to run, to abandon David's post. Their argument implies the enemy has the upper hand already. They're in the ascendancy. What can we do? This is David's lament. He's using their words to lament this situation and bring this to the Lord. This is what the wicked are seeking to do. This is the advice they're giving to me, and this is the temptation I have, and I have a real temptation to run, but in the Lord I put my trust. This is David's affirmation. He's made his declaration. He'll not abandon or deny God's faithfulness, even in the face of this adversity. His refuge is in the Lord, in the covenant-keeping God. And so he will rest in God's faithfulness. So he explains his trust in verses 4 to 7, which are titled The Confidence He Has in the Lord. Confidence in the Lord. By faith he looks and he says in verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in the heaven. And that stark change in this psalm from the darkness of the first few verses of that temptation to run, the fear and the dread there, suddenly changes and evaporates in light of verse 4, where the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. And by faith he looks, and he looks past that real and deadly threat by the enemy. He looks past what his advisors are saying. He looks through the temptation to run and raises his eyes to the Lord. And he sees the Lord enthroned in heaven, in his temple. Unassailable. In his strong palace. Holy. His throne is there. Speaking of the Lord's authority and right to rule. And he does. And just consider that rule and that authority the Lord has over other kingdoms and other places where David may look or where we may look. But the Lord is in his holy temple and he's enthroned in heaven. And from that vantage point, he sees everything. He sees those lurking in the shadows waiting to pounce on David. He sees those who have the arrow pulled tight, ready to strike him dead. He sees everything. Nothing is missed. His eyelids try, it says. And that phrase, eyelids try, is that careful looking. We put our eyelids together when we want to see something close up. Or I may do it to squint. I may need glasses. But we squint, don't we? We look carefully. And that's what that phrase there means. The eyelids try, searches carefully, examines, scrutinizes, tests. The idea is of someone testing perhaps a metal or gold or silver and refining it, looking carefully at it. And so the Lord judges everything from his holy temple. Nothing escapes his view. And the righteous are proved through this searching, this examination. They are refined, but the wicked, the Lord sees them too. And he hates the wicked. He hates them that love violence. But yet there seems to be a pause here between verse 5 and 6. Yet there's still patience there. Though they seek David's life, there's still an element of patience and waiting that may explain why we see the wicked on every hand. Why doesn't the Lord strike immediately? But yet the Lord is patient. But his judgment comes. And the judgment is full in verse 6. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. That language of Sodom and Gomorrah is the end of them. That scorching desert wind is spoken of by that horrible tempest, which was a reality and is a reality in that part of the world, where overnight that hot wind can come and turn the grounds and the vegetation to be scorched and be destructive. And this shall be the portion of their cup. That cup full of wrath is for those who are wicked, who hate the Lord and his people. But there's hope still. Hope there for the righteous. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. He loves the righteous. He does not hate them. And they will see God. They will see the Lord. His countenance doth behold the upright. What amazing words this psalm finishes on. His countenance does behold the righteous. That phrase there, others translate, the upright shall see or shall behold his face. And it seems, after looking at it somewhat today, I'm not an expert in the language, but the argument is the language and the context should determine that this phrase should be translated the other way around. And this is the expectation of David and of the righteous, that they will see the Lord. They will come into his presence and see the Lord. As it says also in Psalm 17, verse 15, just turn the page over, you'll see a similar phrase there. Where he says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. This is the expectation of the righteous, of David, to see the Lord. An amazing statement. Now by faith he sees the Lord. Again, Psalm 27 verse 4 will highlight this for us. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. There is that present reality of seeing the Lord while he's in his presence in the temple there, in his house. And again, Psalm 63 verse 2 says something similarly. There's a now by faith element of David seeing the Lord, beholding his countenance. But there's also a future expectation. A future expectation. Psalm 17 verse 15 shows us this, as we just read. But also Psalm 23 verse 6, a familiar psalm to us. The end of that psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That future expectation of beholding the Lord in his temple. This is the confidence that David has in the Lord. And this is why he can say at the beginning of Psalm 11, in the Lord put I my trust. So the question we ask tonight to us, having just reviewed this psalm very, very briefly here, and seeing that temptation to run, and the confidence that David has in the Lord, is who do we trust? Who do you trust this evening as we come here to the prayer meeting, as we live our lives, as we go through this week? Who do you trust? You may not face the enemies that David faced there, that real and present threat of those with arrows about to strike him dead, but we do face a real foe, and we do face struggles and difficulties in our lives as Christians. And there are many voices that we can hear and listen to. Even those faithless counsellors who will counsel us to run. Be done with it. Get away. Or we see the enemy and we despair. And we wonder how, what can we do? And the temptation to run is there. The desire for a quiet life and a peaceable life is ever present with us. If I could just go somewhere quiet and live out my Christian life on my own somewhere, on an island perhaps, or somewhere quiet, I don't have to confront any difficulties or problems. A temptation to run. Or the prospect of chaos, that danger would be there before us, and we think, I cannot face this anymore. I want a way out. The temptation to give up and to run is very real for us today, as it was for David. I know in our situation we have that, and I'm sure you have too, and you can just pause and think about it for a moment, that temptation to run. But the same for us, for me, and as for you, is where are you seeking refuge? Where are you seeking refuge? Are you seeking it in the Lord? In the God of your salvation? Or are you turning to other things and seeking refuge, safety in other things, which cannot provide that ultimate security that you seek? The affirmation that David gives in verse 1 of Psalm 11 is ours also in Christ. He is our refuge. In the Lord put I my trust. In Christ I put my trust. This is our affirmation as Christians this evening. For salvation we say, yes, he is my Saviour. But how do we live that out in our lives, day by day, as we go through our lives and face real problems and difficulties? Is he our refuge then? Or do we just pay lip service and say, yes, I believe at the end he will be, but for these problems I need to fix these myself. I need to turn to a different Saviour to fix the day's problems. No. We say no. He is our Saviour in life as well as for eternity. So why do we run to other things? Why do we turn to other things to find refuge? It is true, God uses means. He does provide graciously many means in life. I'm not saying we should ignore medicines and don't turn to other things such as those. But we must trust the Lord and use the means he gives us, but there shouldn't be a substitute for faith in God. So that our faith is in those means instead of God. Who do you trust tonight? Who are you trusting in? Our confidence is in Christ alone. In Christ alone. He is our righteousness. Who can claim to be righteous tonight? We've read this psalm together and thought about it in the second half, about the righteous, and the Lord delights in the righteous. He tries them, and the Lord loves the righteous. We say, yes, there's hope. But as we pause there for a second and think, I'm not righteous. Does that put me in the other category then? Those that the Lord hates? But no, our confidence and trust is in Christ. He is our righteousness. And so we rest in Christ. He has secured our salvation and our standing before God. And so as the Lord loves the righteous, he loves his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we are in him, saved in him, he loves us. He loves you. In Christ. It's not by our good works or by our merit that we can earn salvation or earn God's favour, as if God will look upon us and say, yes, there is someone who has worked so hard at that righteousness on his own merits. No, our righteous standing before God is in Christ for salvation and all of life. He took God's wrath. He drank the full cup of God's wrath and drank it all in our place. And we are proved in Him. But the reality of that proving in Him is seen and should be seen in our lives, in the trust that we exhibit in God, in our Saviour, in Christ. But also as we live our lives day by day, the reality should be seen in our lives as well. As we are being made like Christ, conformed to Him. And so Paul says in Philippians that we should work out our salvation. It should be worked out in our lives in practice. This is the argument that James uses in chapter 2, where he says, faith without works is dead. And so there is a real sense that the Lord looks upon His people and sees the righteousness of Christ, and that righteousness or that life is being worked out in our lives. Our confidence in Christ as we live day by day. And so tonight, as we come to this prayer meeting, we come to pray. We come as His people to pray. As David lamented the situation and he puts his trust in the Lord, he comes, he brings his burden to the Lord, but his confidence and his trust is in God, his Saviour. And so he approaches the throne, God's throne, as he says in verse 4, the Lord is in His temple, His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven, and He approaches the Lord. So we approach this evening in confidence, in boldness, because of Christ. Because of Him, who the Father loves. So He loves us, and so we approach. And we come tonight in this prayer meeting face to face by faith in Christ. That present reality is ours tonight as we pray, and as we look forward as well to that future day when we'll stand in His presence at a resurrection day face to face. We'll behold Him, our Saviour. But we have a present reality today which we can lay hold on and say, yes, I can approach because of Christ. He has secured this access for me. And so the upright, as it says at the end of this psalm, shall behold His face. May this be our experience tonight and through this week in our series of prayer meetings, which really ties in with the motto for this year, doesn't it, for our church, for the church here. Seek ye my face. My heart said, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. This is what David said. This is his testimony. This is the testimony of this psalm, and this is our testimony this evening as believers. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. The upright behold His face, and in the Lord put I my trust. Amen.